A major announcement on the Syrian refugee strategy in the United States.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The majority leader and our committee chairs are developing a plan to address the Syrian refugee crisis. Our nation has always been welcoming, but we cannot let terrorists take advantage of our compassion. This is a moment where it's better to be safe than to be sorry. So we think the prudent, the responsible things take a pause in this particular aspect of this refugee program in order to verify that terrorists are not trying to infiltrate the refugee population.
Well, it's my responsibility as the governor of Alabama to make sure that the people of Alabama are safe and secure. And we have too many unanswered questions related to the refugees. They only have to be right one time, terrorists do, and we have to be wrong one time. So we can't take that chance, and that's why we've made this decision.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
He knows that our position is weakening. He knows that ISIS is strong and that it's a threat. But he, in the end, he doesn't think it matters. He's never thought the war on terror was important or existential.
What I do insist on is that we maintain a proper perspective and that we do not provide a victory to these terrorist networks by overinflating their importance and suggesting in some fashion that they are an existential threat to the United States or the world order.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We are dealing with the situation moving right now with the refugees in the United States or proposed to go to the United States from Syria. Our team yesterday worked comprehensively on this issue and have developed a five-point plan that was actually introduced to members of Congress this morning. I want Fan to quickly say what the process was, and then I'm going to give you what the plan is so you understand. We'll also take your calls at 800-684-3110. We want to know where you stand on this issue of Syrian refugees in the U.S. 800-684-3110. Fan, go ahead and lay out first what the meeting was about, and then I'm going to lay out the plan.
Just left back-to-back meetings in the Capitol, Jay, on this exact issue. Members of leadership from both bodies, the House and the Senate, were there, as well as representatives from many senators' offices, many members' offices. I'm actually going back to two more meetings now. I know you're going to walk through this plan here, Jay, but let me just say this. This position that you're about ready to announce is having an impact. You heard some of the comments from Speaker Ryan there in the open. It is basically a two-part plan, and I am here to tell you, I think in the next week or two, you're going to see a vote on the floor of House of Representatives that looks very much like this plan, and it's because our members in the ACLJ got out ahead of this yesterday, and I think this is where you're going to see Capitol Hill moving in the days to come.
All right, let me go through this quickly, and we'll go more into it in the second segment of the broadcast. First, the American people must recognize that is, Justice Goldberg from the Supreme Court observed, the Constitution of the United States is not a suicide pact, and that the first responsibility of the United States government is national defense. For the United States to remain in a position to secure liberties and safety, the United States must defend against and defeat its enemies. This is the best for the United States, best for our citizens as well. The admissions of refugees or any alien is a sovereign act of the United States and is an act of national security. Second, the ACLJ recognizes the dire plight of those forced out of their homes due to ongoing civil war in Syria and the role the United States and its people have played historically to aid persons in such circumstances. The U.S. should continue to be a shining city on the hill, a beacon of freedom for the world in providing aid. Third, the ACLJ recognizes that the failure of the current administration to negotiate a status of force agreement with Iraqi leaders and the removal of our U.S. troops created the environment on which ISIS developed. Also, this refugee crisis is a result of failed American leadership in the region, which has allowed the rise of ISIS to terrorize and exterminate anyone who disagrees with their jihadist view. If the U.S. led as we had in previous generations, we would have not have had this refugee problem. Fourth, in light of the recent ISIS-related attacks in Paris, the ACLJ supports a moratorium on the admissions and the admittance of all refugees from Syria to the United States until the American people can be assured that the federal government has implemented an extensive and reliable vetting process to establish the identity and associations of those persons who are admitted to our country so that no radical Islamic jihadists may enter camouflaged as refugees. We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. If you want to sign on to our statement, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We're posting it now. It's available. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom, and in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror, and that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Well, it's a heartbreaking situation when you see these refugees fleeing Islamic terror, but there's also a heartbreaking situation in France. And also that has now gone into Belgium, into Germany, as Russia has also launched attacks, so have the French today, into Syria. It's a mess. And I think we need to have Christian compassion. But I think what Justice Goldberg said years ago is correct. The Constitution of the United States is not a suicide pact. We need to know, before we let people in from Syria, who they are, what their intent is. We have to have that. James Comey, the director of the FBI. For those of you that are saying, oh, we've got a vetting process in place, let me tell you something. Here, I'm playing for you right now the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, James Comey, just days ago about this very issue.
So if someone has never made a ripple in the pond in Syria in a way that would get their identity or their interests reflected in our database, we can query our database till the cows come home, but there'll be nothing show up because we have no record on that person. You can only query what you've collected. And with respect to Iraqi refugees, we had far more in our databases because of our country's work there for a decade. This is a different situation.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. This is the situation we're in, and that's the Syrian refugee thing. So we're saying a moratorium makes sense. Skip, let me first take some comments, because there were some people that are concerned about Christian. Let's go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, a few people have chimed in. Let me pull up some of them here. Rebecca LP has chimed in a few times just saying, where is your compassion? Essentially saying, do you not understand where these people are coming from? They have nowhere to go, so on and so on. There's some of those comments that come in as well.
What was the person's name?
That was Rebecca, I believe. Okay. There's also been,
Can I talk to Rebecca? Let me talk to Rebecca and to our entire audience.
She's on Periscope.
Okay, on Periscope. We have Christian compassion. But the Constitution's not a suicide pact. We don't know who the people are that are coming in. You heard the FBI director, James Comey, just say that this is a non-verifiable situation. And, Skip, that presents a serious problem when you've got a 65 or 70% of the people coming in are males ages 18 to 35.
Yeah, one would think, given the fact that these are refugees, it would be the women and children who would be the ones that are most vulnerable in this situation. They should make up a majority of what's coming in, but that's not the case. It's males of the fighting age that are coming in. What's the purpose of this? Yep. Many of those are going to be people who have been trained in fighting and may have a different agenda, and we have to be very careful about that because we don't want to happen in Washington or Dallas or Denver, what just happened in Paris, and they've already threatened to do that. So we have to be very careful. And there are options, and Jay has spoken about those before, but there are options in the region. The Saudis, for instance, prepare every year for the Islamic Hajj hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people come at one time. They set up, and they have set up, tents, air-conditioned tents in the desert where they have all the food, the feeding facilities, they have all the latrine facilities, everything is ready to go. They have beds and everything else there, ready to take these people in. It's also in their culture. They speak the same language and so forth. Those types of places we should support so they could support the refugees. We don't want to turn them out
right
on their own, but we have there are other options without bringing them in here before we know who they are.
So, Than, tell us what happened in Washington with the meeting this morning. Folks, and I want you to understand, coming from it with Christian compassion and compassion generally, I will tell you this was a thought-through policy. We have really thought through this policy, and we think this pause, this moratorium, makes sense. Go ahead, Than.
Well, what you just heard from Skip, Jay, is what we advocated on the Hill, and I think what you're ultimately going to see out of the Hill. I mean, clearly there's a balance between national security and assisting the persecuted, but this is what we told the Hill this morning. We can do both, and we must do both. First of all, you heard from the director, James Comey, that we can't vet them. So if we can't vet them, you absolutely cannot let them in because that compromises national security. But at the same token, Jay, and you heard Skip say this, this administration has not been serious about protecting the Christians in the region. They are being slaughtered, and the United States has not come to their aid. That is why part of this plan, along with the moratorium, is going in and providing U.S.-led safe zones to actually provide real protection that has yep. not been happening in the past. And I've got to tell you, it might take more than 50 boots on the ground, but the United States is the one that's got to lead that way.
Yeah, well, this leading from behind, as they said in France, has not worked. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 and taking your comments as well on Facebook and on Periscope. So let's go ahead, Logan.
All right, let's go to Paula, who's calling from Kansas City, Kansas. Welcome to JSEC. You're live. You're on the air.
Hi, Paula.
Hi. Hi.
You're on the air.
Okay. My question is, how are they going to know the difference between who's a terrorist and who's not?
Well, this is the difficulty. So the vetting process that we have in place has a huge gap. And that's why I'm telling everybody, we've really thought through this policy. There's a huge gap. And where Iraq, we had on-ground intelligence, in the situation we find ourselves now and with Syria, we don't. And I think because of that situation, we need to provide in-region aid until we have a verification process in place. I mean, normally when you have someone seeking asylum in the United States, there's the process. Sometimes there's a family member there or it's a documented case. These are not. And you've got in-region capability that we need to be relying on here. This is the idea where the president's trying to show some type of compassion by saying we're going to let 100,000 Syrian refugees into the United States. It sounds horrible to say no refugees, and I'm not saying no refugees. We're saying that we need a moratorium until we have a system in place that is verifiable. If it's never verifiable, then the moratorium has to stay in place longer. We have to figure this out. And part of what we are also saying is once you have the situation in Syria secured, these people need to be repatriated back to their country of origin, which is normally how it happens. That's the normal process. But right now, it's a five-point plan, and it looks like Congress is going to be adopting that plan. I appreciate your call, Paula. Thanks for calling, and we'll take more calls and more comments.
Sure. A couple people are asking about really the rights of the governors, as we've heard that kind of come up over the last few days.
So
what can they actually do?
Yeah, so legally speaking, the governors to say no is very different. I mean, they could say it as a policy statement. If you looked at what most of the governors, which I believe, Will, what is it, 26 or 27 now? Yeah, well, let's find out the number. And I think it's 26. But anyways, the fact of the matter is the governors are saying we are not prepared. We don't know the vetting process. Normally there's cooperation between the federal government and the states. That verification process is not there right now. And they want it stopped until that process is put in place. That includes a Democratic governor as well, by the way, so in Vermont. So you have a situation right now where I think the reality is that the governors, although legally probably cannot stop it, the Congress sure can. And Than, let's talk about what this will do, because this is congressional action that we're talking about here.
Yeah, and the governor's statements are so important to actually embolden the federal officials here, Jay, because what they are telling the federal officials is on a state level, our citizenry does not want this to go forward, and frankly, we're not prepared to receive them. So even if they have some legal questions on how they can act, it certainly helps Capitol Hill on this. Speaker Ryan is saying that he is going to put a vote on the floor very soon on a standalone piece of legislation that would put a pause on this. We're still working out some of the details on this. I will tell our listeners, I think ultimately, Jay, it will probably have to be a part of the omnibus budget bill that passes before December 11th, because otherwise I don't think you can get a standalone across the line in time.
Yep.
We'll see. I think we'll have details on that this afternoon, but that's exactly what we're working out as the day goes along.
Let's go ahead and play Speaker Paul Ryan's statement on this just moments ago.
In addition, the majority leader and our committee chairs are developing a plan to address the Syrian refugee crisis. Our nation has always been welcoming, but we cannot let terrorists take advantage of our compassion. This is a moment where it's better to be safe than to be sorry. So we think the prudent, the responsible things take a pause in this particular aspect of this refugee program in order to verify that terrorists are not trying to infiltrate the refugee population.
We've got, by the way, coming up in the broadcast in just moments, Dr. Zudi Jasri. He's the founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He's been on this broadcast many times. It'll be very interesting to get his perspective. He is of Syrian, his family came from Syria, so this is it's going to be very interesting to get his perspective on this situation. I'm looking forward to having him. Folks, we have a petition that's up right now. I want you to sign it. We're moving on this very quickly in our government affairs office. Just go to aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you agree with our plan, which is this moratorium until a verification process is in place to halt Syrian refugee into the United States, as of right now, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. I'd like to get 10,000 signatures on this by the end of the week. So again, aclj.org or 877-989-2255.
You can also join us right now on Facebook and Periscope. Go to facebook.com/jseculo. You can watch the show there live right now. We broadcast the show with studio quality audio and great looking video. You can see what's going on inside the studio, see all the crew, see really what's going on, and talk to us during the breaks. Again, that's at facebook.com/jseculo. Also on Periscope, just search for Jay Sekulo or at Jay Sekulo. You can also send us a tweet. We get those on the air as well.
And we'll take more of your calls when we come back. Again, Dr. Zudi Jasser is going to be on the broadcast. He's been on here many times on Fox News a lot, talking about the situation, get his perspective on what we need to do. He is the president and founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He is also a former military man, an officer in the United States military, which is something we want to talk about and how all this comes together. So it'll be very good to get Zudi's comments. Folks, what we do want you to do right now is go to aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you want to see a moratorium put in place immediately on the Syrian refugee situation, giving aid to them in region, but not coming to the United States until we figure this out, go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. And like I said, I'm encouraging everybody that's listening to the broadcast to do that now. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. We're going to be back with more, including your comments, in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulo, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom, and in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror, and that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
We're very fortunate to have on the phone with us right now the founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, Dr. Zudi Jasser. He's been on this broadcast many times. He's on Fox News a lot. He's got a book out called The Battle for the Soul of Islam, an American Muslim's Patriot's Fight to Save His Faith. Dr. Jasser, as I said, Zudi was also served 11 years as a medical officer in the United States Navy. First, you know, Zudi, give me your sense of what we've got going on right now. We've been concerned. There's a lot of proposals being made. We think our position has been that right now we need a moratorium in place on Syrian refugees until we have a vetting process in place because we're concerned. The FBI said there's gaps in this. But I want to get your sense of it. Your family origin is from that region. So give us your sense of this.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm in agreement that the pause button needs to be hit because this administration, and you know, I'm certainly biased. I have family trying to get out and dancing, avoiding bombs there, and it's just horrific what's happening in many of the towns in Syria. They've been not far from chemical weapons attacks by the Assad regime, et cetera, et cetera. But having said that, you know, we cannot have a process. I mean, even till today, the immigration paperwork asks, are you a member of the Communist Party? That's a Cold War vestige, obviously, right, because we didn't want, you know, people who had political mindsets that were antagonistic to America coming in during the Cold War. Yet today, the president, in a patronizing way yesterday, tells us that there should be no religious filter. Well, fine, I get the first freedom. I understand that, as most Americans do. But it's not about religious liberty. This is a theopolitical ideology that is the driving force of the identification of our enemies against us, which is, if they are Islamist, we cannot let them in, whether they're violent or nonviolent. And I think this is where the tipping point may be reached now with Paris, is not our leadership, but the people of Europe, the people of America, are starting to understand that these guys aren't coming from, you know, nowhere. There's cauldrons that are brewing them, that are cauldrons that create identity movements for the Islamic State. And until we can filter that, and, you know, listen, I understand it's hard to filter it, but we also have to be careful, and that's been my only criticism of many of the conservative conversations on this. They're right. Pause the immigration, pause the refugee, but let's not change the narrative that America will take in those who are seeking freedom. Let's not change the way that's presented as no Muslims are, because
right,
that narrative is exactly what ISIS wants. It's exactly what will alienate and prevent actually engaging Muslims like me, in which that freedom is the solution to both the evils of the Assads of the world and the ISISes of the world.
You know, I've talked about this before. I'm only the second generation in my family born in the United States. My family were Russian immigrants on one side of the family, and then on my mother's side of the family, they were German and Austrian. A lot of the family members were wiped out in the Holocaust. So, again, we don't want to change the welcomeness of the United States of America, but as Justice Goldberg observed, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. And when you've got that situation, when you talked about the vetting, what do you think, Zudi? Because I think people really respect your opinion on this, and especially since your family origin is Syria, my family origin is Russian. How do we do this then? I mean, because I think right now there's a majority of Americans, not everybody that's listening to this broadcast, but a majority of Americans say moratorium, hit the pause button. I say whenever you've got a crisis, which is what you have right now, you hit a pause and reset and determine how you're going to address that issue. I think that's just good leadership. We are lacking that leadership right now in the United States. How do you see moving this forward? What would you put in place on this process?
It's going to take a few months, but what you do first is you create an advisory group. Just as DHS has an advisory group, you create a national security advisory group that informs the vetting process, that includes reformist Muslims. Any of us that are doing this work against Islamism, and we've got a conference, I won't give you the date, but once it happens, we'll let you all know about it, of reformers that are meeting. And we are Muslim voices of reform against Islamism. And if we were, and there are many in Canada, Europe, and in the United States that are doing similar work to mine, and if they would only create an advisory group, we could help them create a method, questions, forms that would at least be much more effective in vetting this, to ask them questions that would point out what they feel, you know, is jihad important to them? Is the war in Syria about Islamic freedom or is it about individual freedom? You know, all these kind of things that why are they leaving? You know, there are ways to do this vetting process. And we're doing complicated interviews already on these folks. They're not coming over here willy-nilly. And that's one of Belgium's problems, is that they had such free-flowing transfer of people. But, you know, the issue for us is we're already spending a lot of tax money on vetting. All we need is an advisory group of Muslims that are not brotherhood apologists that this administration is in bed with.
Let me ask you this question. We're getting a lot of comments by Facebook and Twitter, as well as, of course, our phone lines are jammed. But go ahead, Logan. We've got one.
Yeah, we do have quite a few if you want to take a look at some of them. One person just asked about how you've used the word Islamism and these type of things. How can that be separated from Islam in general?
In other words, because the targeting, I mean, some of these, you know, no Muslims coming into the United States, first of all, it doesn't fly under the Constitution. I mean, that's not how you do this. So how the government is not consulted with you all, correct?
None of us. Not only not me, none of the anti-Islamist leaders that I've known for years are being consulted. It's all Islamists.
Yeah, so you've got these. So draw that distinction between Muslims and Islamists. I've done it, but I think coming from you, it's going to have even more of an impact.
And I think, you know, one of the services that Ben Carson did when he brought this issue up was, it was relevant when he was talking about who could be president. An Islamist could not. A Muslim, I believe, could. Islamists are those who believe in the existence and the oxygen for the Islamic State, so that the identity of countries that are Muslim majority, they believe should be an Islamic identity. And then the law, thus, is not a secular reason-based law, but rather a law based in Sharia or Islamic law. Thus, they basically are the Islamic form of theocrats. So set aside, I'm not expecting people to be experts in Islam. You know, it's the same battle our founding fathers had against the theocrats of the Church of England and of Europe. Do you think they would have had a hard time telling which Christians were on their side versus on the side of liberty versus which were on the side of theocracy? It's not that hard when you're within the faith to figure that out.
As long as the right people are asking the questions, or at least setting up the format for those questions to be asked.
Exactly.
Do you think CARE has an influence in this right now in our U.S. policy?
CARE and many of their, you know, CARE supposedly still, according to a letter from 2008, is not supposed to be interacting with the government. But yet, if you follow their emails and others, it certainly appears that they still have some opportunities and contacts. But whether it's CARE or the Islamic Society in North America, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, many of these organizations are an alphabet soup of all sort of Muslim Brotherhood legacy groups. We talk about them in the documentary I did 5 years ago called The Third Jihad, which is still very relevant today. And these organizations are driving the focus of, this is why the president gets so animated only when he's talking about bigotry against Muslims or what he calls Islamophobia. Once they shift the narrative that anyone who criticizes this is an Islamophobe, they actually are preventing the conversation on Islamism.
Zudi Jasser, we appreciate you coming on and appreciate your comments. His book is a must-read, A Battle for the Soul of Islam, An American Muslim Patriot's Fight to Save His Faith. Dr. Zudi Jasser. Thanks, Zudi.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. Very quickly, Logan's going to tell you how you get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast, and I'm going to tell you to take action.
That's right. If you're not listening on SiriusXM or some of our affiliates that pick up the full hour, you can do that in many different ways. You can join us right now, audio only, on ACLJ.org. Just click Listen Live. You'll hear the rest of the show. Or join us on Facebook, facebook.com/JSeculo. Go to the JSeculo page. You'll see the latest post is a live video. You can be a part of the show that way. And also on Periscope, look for JSeculo.
Sign that petition now, folks, on our position, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And for those of you that have been with us the first half hour, let me reset for the new audience here, the second half hour crowd. Here's what we've got. The American Center for Law and Justice yesterday put forward a policy on a moratorium on Syrian refugees until the vetting process can be established. It's a five-point plan. It says that, first, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. The president's primary job is to protect the national security interests of our citizens. Second, the ACLJ recognizes the dire plight of those that are fleeing their countries of origin. And we want to offer in-region aid to help these people out. Third, it is the failure of the current administration, the lack of the status force agreement that gave Iraq the ability to, or the Islamic State the ability to rise. And fourth, because in light of the ISIS attacks in France and in coming out of the Sinai, that a moratorium on Syrian refugees needs to take place immediately so that we can figure out the vetting process. And Skip, this is a well-thought-out policy. It's posted on our site. We've also sent this. It's already been circulated on Capitol Hill. This was a lot of thought and process went into it.
You're absolutely right. This is a balanced program. This is a program that balances our national security needs and the needs of refugees who are in dire circumstances. We have always, as the country, aided people that are in dire circumstances, and we could do it now. The problem is the president refuses to do it in the area where it makes the most sense, because they'll be near their homes, and when the war is over, they can return to their homes. Rather than do that, he's willing to transport these people halfway around the world to come into our country without knowing definitively who they are and to what organizations they belong. That is a recipe for disaster, even though the vast majority of people will probably be fine.
Yep.
It doesn't take many to cause problems.
Yeah, we're going to play in the next segment of the broadcast. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue, by the way. Democrat Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard has spoken on this issue. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. And for those that want to call in right now, the lines are jammed, but they'll open up in a few minutes.
Right. Let's go to Kathy, who's calling from Santa Rosa, California. Welcome to JSEC Live, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi, Kathy.
This is not a Republican-Democrat.
Hi.
You got to turn your phone down there, Kathy, or we can't hear
your radio,
you.
Radio, yep.
Yeah, radio.
Sorry. Okay, there? No, I'm going into the other room.
Okay, there you go.
Kathy, you there?
Let's go ahead.
Okay, well, this is nothing more, in my opinion, than a planned migration for the intentions of war. And although I feel very sad for the Christians
yep.
in the region who are not being brought in here, it's a majority of young Muslim men, and all you have to do is look at the faces of these young people and understand that there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to reason with any of them.
Let me give you the statistics to back some of what you just set up. So if you look at the in-region people fleeing, there's been 4,289,792. In region, that means they're saying in Turkey, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt. Those break up, although it's still predominantly male. It's like 22% in region, 23% female, then you've got children and whatnot. But when you look at the plight of the refugees that have left the region, gone on to the Mediterranean Sea. Can we get this up on a chart for Facebook and Periscope? Maybe we can for the next break. What you see is that of the 819 that have arrived just recently, you ready for this, folks? 65% are male, and most of those are between the ages of 18 and 35. So this raises a serious problem, and that's why a vetting process is, I think, both compassionate for our own people and necessary. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. We had an interesting comment, Logan, from Shadow Shepherd on Twitter. If you can pull it up, if not, I can.
So, yep, Shadow Shepherd said, at Jay Sekulow, thank you for a modeling wise judgment in tempering American compassion with defending ourselves wisely.
Yeah, so we're not really tempering. I understand what you're saying. We're calling for a moratorium. We continue to give aid.
Yep.
So we're not tempering our compassion, which wise compassion. And that's part of what we're doing.
Yeah,
here.
I think we're seeing that a lot on our social media right now with Facebook and Periscope. A lot of people saying, hey, we're not saying no
right.
to this. We're saying there just needs to be a plan so we know who's coming in.
Exactly. And I think that just makes perfect sense. By the way, those statistics I gave you are from the UN Human Rights Council and also the Refugee Commission. So these are the real statistics. We come back. We'll take more of your calls and comments. And again, folks, if you want to sign on to that petition, supporting our plan, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom, and in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror, and that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
That is the song by the Jay Sekulow Band called Where I Stand, which is apropos for this horrible situation in Paris and also the evil that we're seeing playing out right now in Syria and Iraq. We are taking your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Athan Bennett just had to leave us. He's going to two more meetings on our proposal on the five key policies on ISIS, Syrian refugees, and U.S. national security. It is posted at aclj.org, and I'm sure we're getting it out on social media as well. We've got a book that is out that I have expanded called Rise of ISIS. And if you haven't gotten it yet, we'll give away a couple of them today. You need to call or contact Amazon or wherever you get your books and get it. This is a good primer on what we're dealing with. It talks about ISIS, talks about Hamas, talks about how they engage and how we need to respond. It's called Rise of ISIS. It was number one on the New York Times bestsellers list and something we need to do. Let's go ahead and take some calls or comments.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call. Scott is calling from Boise, Idaho on line one. Scott, thanks for holding. I'll hold for half an hour. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Scott, I'm sending you Rise of ISIS. You've been holding there for a long time. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Look, just listening to your last guest, I became concerned, number one, about the disproportionate number of fighting males that are coming and not families. So let's take their women and children and vet their men and arm them and send them back to take. I think it's far cheaper for us to repatriate them than it is to bring them over here.
Now, of course, the problem with the women and children, we thought about that, and we looked at that actually, Scott, on our policy issue, is then you're cutting up, you're basically disrupting families. But I think you've raised a point, and I want Skip to address this from the military standpoint and these other countries. Skip, what is your response to that issue?
Well, I would agree in the sense that if men come with their families, they're less likely to be fighting. But these single men of fighting age are coming, and they're leaving their families behind, which means that it suggests very strongly that they're coming for a different reason. The other issue is about why other Muslim countries aren't stepping up the plate. Well, we have to admit that Turkey has a lot of these refugees, and Jordan has a lot of these refugees, and they're being overwhelmed. But there are countries like Saudi Arabia, as we've said, and the Emiratis, those who have a lot of money and yep. have space where they could do more,
and they're not.
It's not clear to me why they're not doing that and why this government's not pressing them to do that.
Because our narrative, the Obama administration doesn't want to do that. We were hoping to get Scott's address. I don't know if we did. We were going to send him the book. If not, just email us, Scott, and we'll do that. 1-800-684-3110. More comments, more calls coming in.
Yeah, a couple comments came in that said, can we stop this without presidential approval?
Well, I think the answer to that is yes. I mean, if Congress says no to the money or passes the legislation, I mean, the president could veto it. And then you could override the veto. But in an appropriations bill, look, we're looking at all that strategy. And as support builds against this, and you've got 26 governors speaking out, you've got a vast majority of the American people want to hit the pause button. including, look, there's concern about the vulnerability that Democrats are talking about. Listen to Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat from Hawaii, served in the military. Take a listen to what she had to say just the other day, just yesterday. Take a listen.
After we look at what just happened in Paris, we've got to be very proactive to make sure that no city in the United States is the next target for an ISIS or Al-Qaeda style attack. I'm reminded of a vulnerability and a weakness that must be addressed. We've got a visa waiver program that really does not address the vulnerability of the open and porous borders between Syria and Turkey, and that we've seen already how many foreign fighters from across Europe are able to travel through those borders and are not being tracked. So we need to temporarily suspend this visa waiver program until the intelligence community gets a handle on this and exactly how large it is and what's going on.
And this is coming from Democrat Tulsi Gabbard, and she's saying we got to hit the pause button. Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, one person just commented on Periscope. I missed their name because it went by so fast, but I said, how can the president and this administration still just claim that ISIS is contained?
Well, I mean, do we have where he says it's contained? I mean, we've played the bite. I mean, we have it. Let's go ahead and play it. I mean, it was absurd because, they're not contained, and, B, they're actually going way out of the region. This is with George Stephanopoulos hours before the attack.
ISIS is gaining strength, aren't they?
Well, I don't think they're gaining strength. What is true is that from the start, our goal has been first to contain, and we have contained them. They have not gained ground in Iraq, and in Syria, they'll come in, they'll leave, but you don't see the systematic march by ISIL across the terrain. What we have not yet been able to do is to completely decapitate their command and control structures.
Of course, Gabbard said they're not contained, and so has Dianne Feinstein. It's not contained. So that's the president saying they're contained. Now listen to Senator Dianne Feinstein. I'm playing this for you so you have the evidence on this, folks. Here's what the Democratic senator from California said.
I've never been more concerned. I read the intelligence faithfully. ISIL is not contained. ISIL is expanding. They've just put out a video saying it is their intent to attack this country. And I think we have to be prepared. I think hopefully France will go for a Chapter 5, which will bring NATO into it. Hopefully we will work with our allies to put together the kind of coalitions and attack plans in more than one place at a given time.
So there you have it. So I'm laying, folks, this is not a Republican-Democrat issue. This is a national security issue here in the United States.
Sure, we'll take a lot more calls as we come up. I did get a comment came in from a pastor friend of ours, Darren, who I wanted to kind of read on the air. We talked about on our Facebook, because a lot of people are commenting still with this, you know, sort of feeling of, well, yes, as Americans and as Christians, we need to
help.
To help, and that's totally understandable. He said, this is a comment from him. He said, it's simple to me. Know your lane. Government's lane is provide security, and the church's lane is making disciples. Love the least of these. We let the government do the government's role, and me as a pastor, I do the church's role.
I think that's a great point from Darren. And let me read you the second paragraph of our proposal so you understand that we understand the need for compassion. The ACLJ recognizes both the dire plight of those forced out of their homes due to the ongoing civil war in Syria and the role the United States and its people have played historically to aid persons in such circumstances. The U.S. should continue to be a shining city on the hill and a beacon of freedom for all the world and should provide aid necessary. And Skip, we want to provide in-country, in-region aid. It doesn't have to be in-country because Syria is a mess. But in-region aid, we are saying we must do that. It's just this, again, is a verification process that the country doesn't have right now.
That's exactly right. We are already providing assistance. We may need to provide more because as the plight of these people continues. But at the same time, the only way these people are coming to the United States is if the United States brings them to the United States. And what's happening is the United States government under this administration is actually bringing them to our borders. They can't get here by themselves. And so not only are we not assisting them or taking money that we could assist them in region.
Right.
We're applying that money to bring them to the United States despite the opposition of the vast majority of the people in the United States.
Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
All right, let's go to Mario, who's calling from New York on line 5. Welcome to Jay Psycho Live.
Hi, Mario.
Hey, hi, Jay. Hi, Matt. Thank you, and God bless you for taking the call. I used to work with Muslims. I'm born again. What would stop, or what kind of filter could be in place to stop an Islamic terrorist getting in from 1 out of 100 and then go on to proselytize others in America?
Well, 1 out of 100, how about 5 out of 10,000? I mean, it looks like there were 8 or 9 in the situation of this Paris attack. So, look, you're not going to be able to they have to be right once. We have to be right 100% of the time. But when you got the director of the FBI saying we have this gap in intelligence capability on verification, you got to hit pause. So I think right now we have to hit pause. We can't take people's word for it. We have to hit pause. I'm going to see you've been holding a long time, Mario. I'm going to send you our book, Rise of ISIS, the new expanded version of it, which is available in bookstores, but I'm sending you a copy signing for you now. We appreciate the call. Let's take another call. We got a Mike calling from Facebook there.
Yeah, Mike's calling from Maine, but also a Facebook viewer. Thanks, Mike. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your ministry. I just signed your petition using the mobile app. It took 10 seconds. My question is this. You had a guest on earlier that was talking about having a Muslim person asking the question of these folks that want to come in. And my question is this. What prevents them from giving us the answers they think that we want to hear and then coming in and working for ISIS inside the country?
Mike, by the way, hang on the line because we're going to want to get your address. I'm sending you Rise of ISIS. Let me tell you this. I think what Zudi said, though, is exactly right. It's going to take people like him, who the government will not talk to. You know, they're not supposed to be talking to CARE. We think they are. But it takes people like him who know what the right questions to ask are and how to filter that down. Not that they can't be trained to give the wrong answer, but you can drill down on this pretty deep and find out where they're coming from. And I think that's the point here. We don't have that verification process in place, and that's why we've got to be so aggressive on this issue. And Skip, the danger is a mistake has catastrophic consequences.
Well, that's right. We need to keep in mind, you know, this is not the first time we've dealt with Islamic refugees. We brought in a whole slew of Islamic refugees from Somalia, and we have case after case where they became radicalized in the United States and went back to fight, and some have returned here. So we already, even in relatively peaceful times where we had much better situation, we've made mistakes. So now where we have where we are unable to in any significant way confirm who these people are and what organizations they belong to, now we need to be especially careful, and this administration seems to be turning a blind eye to this.
Interesting comment via Twitter.
That's right. On Twitter, we have from Casting an End, we have stopped the flow of refugees. They have verbally threatened us already. They're capable of carrying it out. This is not rocket science, and I think that's the general feeling.
ISIS certainly has threatened our nation's capital. That video circulated all over the country, so all over the world, so we know that. It doesn't mean every refugee is out to destroy America, but we got to find out who the people are. Hey, we're going to do a rapid fire round when we come back from the break. So, and we encourage you to stay engaged on that. We'll take more calls. Lines are jammed now, but we'll filter those out so you can, as we answer calls. Again, if you're on Facebook or Periscope, get your comments and questions into Logan. Sign on to our petition, ACLJ.org, 877-989-2255, on the issue of a moratorium on the refugee situation. ACLJ.org, 877-989-2255. And don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign this week as well, with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom, and in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror, and that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We have announced a five-point policy on ISIS, Syrian refugees, and U.S. national security. That has been circulated this morning in Washington, and Than, who was with us, has now left to go to meetings on this. It looks like our policy would be the one that gets approved, which we think is the one that makes sense. I mean, some are saying no Muslim immigrants. I think you have to have a pause here. And Skip, it's important. We're going to do a rapid-fire round here to get to your calls. This was a well-thought-out plan. We looked at all the contingencies. We did this in a day, but we had a big team working on this.
We did indeed. And the whole idea was we did not want to violate our own values, which are values of concern
right.
and compassion for those in these situations. At the same time, the government and the people of the United States have an expectation that we will be defended against our enemies. So what we wanted to do is to make sure that the United States remained secure and that we provided whatever was necessary to aid those in dire straits. And I think this policy captures that very well.
And that's why we did this in a very orderly fashion. All right, this is a rapid-fire round, folks. So some of you have been holding a while here. We're going to get to your calls. Let's go ahead and start, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to Chris, who's calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Been holding for about a half hour. Thanks
Chris. You're on, and we're going to also send you our book, Rise of ISIS. I'm signing for you right now. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm on air. Is this Jay?
Yep.
Hey, Jay, first of all, I want to thank you for all the hard work you do. And
thank
all,
you.
You know, I signed 100% of the petitions
right.
because they all make sense. Thank God for you and your people there.
Thanks.
I agree with putting the refugee on hold. I agree with that. The only thing I don't agree with is that we should be using taxpayer dollars to take care of this. We have a lot of problems going on, like the veterans who are not taken care
sure.
of. I think one thought of maybe having like a non-deductible charitable contribution, like the Haiti issues.
Well, listen, I think all options should be on the table. I'll understand this also. The United Nations gets a lot of money already allocated from the United States. So there's money there to meet the needs of people in region. Plus, I don't think we should forget that Saudi Arabia and some of these countries have some of the wealthiest countries in the world. And they certainly can do their fair share on this, too. And this idea that there's no place for these people to go or that there's somehow, you know, this is stopped. I just don't buy it. And that's why we want to reach out, but we also want to be cautious. Chris, thanks for watching. Again, we're going to get your address and send you something. Logan, let's take another call.
All right, Matt's calling from Washington online, too. Matt, welcome to JSecure Live. Thank you again for holding as well for about 25 minutes. We appreciate it.
Hey, and Matt, I'm sending you a copy of the book as well.
Sorry.
I appreciate it. Yep. You guys are awesome, too, by the way. I praise God that we have you guys on the battlefield for us in front of this stuff. But my question is this. You know, I mean, ever since, I mean, mankind's always shown an etiquette for women and children first when the ship's going down
yep.
or, you know, in wartime. And it's just, it's phenomenal to me how the priority of etiquette is being missed in the reasoning why whether pumping in and getting ready to pump in these refugees.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if there's a way, I mean, you kind of answered part of it a couple calls ago, but I was just wondering if there's a way to implement that etiquette into the strategy.
Well, let me show, for those that are watching on Facebook and Periscope, let me show this map again. And Logan, let's pan over this, because here's what you've got. We all understand the plight of women and children, and we're concerned about that, but I want you to understand what's happening here. 65% of those that have gone into Europe, not in the region, the in-region number is much more normal proportionality, but in those going to Europe, you're talking 65% male, and the people on the ground, and Skip can address this, have been saying most of those are 18 to 35. The percentage of children is 20%. Women is only 14%. And we don't know if a child is what they define a child. Is it 15, 16, 17, 18? We don't know. But I do know this. 65% men, most of them single, 18 to 35 years in age. This is not a good sign. And, Skip, that's what we're concerned about here. It's just the way the migration patterns are working, and we're looking at the UN's own evidence.
That's exactly right. We're concerned about that because these are the militarily able ages, and many of these people have had to fight because they were involved in the Civil War. The other thing we need to keep in mind here is there's a cultural issue here about women and children, where they rank in the relative order in an Islamic society. And many of these men do not want their families going into a society that they think might taint them by virtue of different customs and so forth.
Right.
So there's all sorts of variables here that have to be taken into account.
Absolutely right. Let's take another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Yosef, who's calling on line five from Dallas, Texas. You're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air, Yosef.
Hi, Jay. First of all, Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua.
To you as well.
Thank you. I have a question to ask. This is, first of all, to me, the perfect Trojan horse. You know, we close the borders to the south, but yet we open up the doors for refugees to come in. And to me, this all escalated. Why ask the president to protect the United States when he did nothing, when it all escalated way back when he pulled out the troops from Iraq?
Look, we put, that's a great question. We put in our paragraph three of our proposal, we acknowledge that the ACLJ recognized, I'm reading it verbatim, that the failure of the current administration to negotiate a status of force agreement with Iraq led to our removing U.S. troops from Iraq, thereby creating the conditions that led to the breakup of Iraq along sectarian and ethnic lines, which in turn led to the rise of ISIS. And we think that's absolutely correct. And that has created this mess. And I will tell you, Dianne Feinstein, do we have time to play that? Probably not. We'll save it for tomorrow. She thinks that, well, let me play the beginning of it. Listen to what Dianne Feinstein thinks about the situation.
I'm not a military expert. I can't tell you how many troops on the ground we need, but we certainly need more than 50 special ops. And we need the ability to really make a difference on the ground.
So you've got leading Democrats coming out against the president's plan here. We appreciate you calling in, Joseph. Thanks for the comments. And again, if you go to ACLJ.org, we have our position posted there.
All right, we're going to try to get to as many of these as possible. Linda's calling. You're on the air, Linda, in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling about something you said yesterday about your immigrants coming in from, you have ancestors that came
My
in from
My grandfather was a Russian immigrant.
I too, had grandparents that came in from Hungary.
Yep.
Do you have to stop and think? It's a whole different age and time today. You know, when they came in, I mean, they hopped on boats and got taken into
Well,
Ellis
there was because,
Island
and there was no safe zone in the region for those that were fleeing Russia or Nazi Germany or Hungary at the times of the revolutions. There was no safe zones in the area. So it's a very different scenario. And here you got vast landmass. Linda, so I appreciate your call. We're tight on time here. I'm going to try to get to everybody's call because people have been holding. Let's go really quick, Logan.
All right, Marcus, San Diego, you're on
hey,
the
Hey, Marcus,
air.
Really quick.
Hi. Obama says that we're Islamophobic. So we say, yes, we are Islamophobic because they're killing us off?
Well, we're not Islamophobic. I am jihadist-phobic. Radical Islamic jihadist. We should be doing everything we can against. Michelle, go ahead.
Michelle in El Paso.
Well, we'll get back to you because it sounds like maybe you can call in tomorrow. Michelle, sounds like you're listening to some folks. Here's the action we want you to take. We've got a petition that is up at ACLJ.org, which basically backs our policy plan. We want you to do that as well. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It's basically putting this moratorium in place. We're going to talk more about it on tomorrow's broadcast. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. That means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. You could do that at ACLJ.org. That's the easiest way. Respond to what our emails are. You'll be getting an email right now about our Supreme Court cases as well, and that is the biggest abortion case in two decades, so we'll let you know about that. But again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Don't forget, get a copy of Rise of ISIS. We've got the new expanded version of it out. We encourage you to go to Amazon or wherever you're buying your books and get a copy of Rise of ISIS. You should have that in your library. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.